Blog Talk Radio.
I'm the beast and the best in the world. Paul, say something stupid.
I look in the mirror and what do I see? Some kind of slacker looking back at me. Ain't nothing lost, can't be found, and it's never too late to change.
Talk Radio, yeah, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and that's the only place to listen to wrestling, I do believe, yes, dig it, yeah.
Tonight's a very special occasion. I have the promoters of On Point Wrestling. They're going to join me in just a second. I just want to introduce myself. I am, of course, the host of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can catch me at Folsom County. Now, to my right, I'm going to introduce the money man first. He is the financial miracle, Loudy. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm wonderful. I'd like to say hello out there to On Point Nation tuning in for the kickoff to On Point Wrestling Presents All or Nothing. I'm doing amazing, Dean. Thank you for having me on tonight.
And to my left, he is a man that everybody knows in the independent scene. It is the Bulldozer, Matt Trema. How are you tonight, sir?
Surprisingly well. I haven't been hit with a chair lately, but tonight's about On Point. Thank you for having us on again, and it is truly all or nothing as we are on the road to September 28th, next On Point event in Deptford, New Jersey.
Now, of course, you said it right there. This is all about On Point. We're going to start off this month. We're going to have on several guests, several stars on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio from On Point. Of course, we're going to have Pinky Sanchez on the 18th. We're going to have yourself. Matt will be coming on this Wednesday. You'll be coming on, Loudy, with Xavier Cross. We're also going to have on the 25th a very special program with both Scott Summers, the guys that you guys somehow got back to the East Coast. Nobody else, no other promoter could do it. You guys did. That's right. And we're going to have coming back home, Ryan Castellucci will also be on. That's September 25th, so it's a whole month. But before we get into all that, before we get into this next show, let's talk about where On Point Wrestling started. Now, it was a creative endeavor by both your parts, or how exactly did On Point Wrestling start? And I'll start with you, Loudy.
The concept of On Point Wrestling came in one way or another. I guess the best way to say it is a vision of just two men that enjoy the sport and love professional wrestling. That's why we do this, and you know, I think that's forgotten a lot. And, you know, you travel and you work a lot of federations and you get the great opportunities to share locker rooms with people. And you, throughout the time, you experience different experiences and you start to develop a knowledge of this sport and a pure passion. And, I mean, I know myself, I had the luxury, and I look at it as a luxury and a blessing to have grown up in Philadelphia and have gone to the arena And there's a lot of kids out there, they watch WWE, and it's a great product, it's amazing. But for you to truly have lived and gone to the arena as a kid and being a wrestling fan, going through ECW and seeing live the passion and desire of a locker room that just wanted to go out there and just showcase what they can do for the fans, and they truly emotionally invested, the fans of South Philly, and I lived that. I lived it. I stood in line from 12 noon. I've done that. And, I mean, I remember I transitioned into CZW in Jersey, but, I mean, I've always loved wrestling, and you get involved in this. And then, I mean, myself and Matt, you know, we sat there one time, and, you know, you start coming up with your own ideas for yourself, and then you write them on paper, and you kind of look at the paper, and you go, that really looks good. And then the idea came to us one day where you always go, I mean, there's not a person listening to this or out there involved in wrestling at one point, one time, said, I would love to run my own company. I would love to control things. But that's not what this is about. This is about a vision, a passion, and a love that me and Matt have for wrestling. I mean, we truly love the sport. We sit and together come up with ideas, and the entire idea of On Point. I mean, you could say the name and itself, On Point. I remember the night. I was just like, wow, you know, that's on point. And the two of us looked at each other, and you have that look in your eye, and you look at someone, and you just go, wow. And then you go, wow, and that was it. And, I mean, Matt will break down the story right now. I mean, how it actually came into the...
A lot of things came into fruition, which would eventually become On Point Wrestling, because, you know, being in the business almost 5 years now, and, like, being around a lot of promotions and people, you gather knowledge, good and bad, and you know, just about a little over a year ago, maybe, you know, 2 years ago, you know, I know my story starting in DWF and stuff like that, and there's a couple local promotions, you know, myself and Laddie helped out with running their first show, helping promote, and a lot of things didn't come to fruition, and what, you know. You know, the other individuals involved didn't have that same passion or knowledge to really put out a product that is presentable and to promote it the right way. You know, the biggest part, you know, it's a wrestling promotion. You have to promote. And so those ventures with those other people and promotions, you know, fizzled out and would fuel the fire to eventually what would become One Point Wrestling. Me and Lottie had the opportunity... A little over a year ago, I believe now, the DWF company that used to run in Pensauken, they used to do like Friday night.
The Outlaws Den.
Outlaws Den, in the honor of the memorable Frankie G who passed away. So it was Outlaws Den. We used to book the shows on Friday night. So it was like our first taste of like booking together, see who shows up, and putting something together small. And but it wound up being an enjoyable experience, learned from it. And from that experience with DWF, with the experience with the other promotion that we helped, which we'll stay unnamed because they haven't even mentioned. But we helped them out. But like I said, things didn't work out. But we saw that we had the knowledge and the passion to do so. And we never went into any other those two previous companies to take over anything. That we just legitimately wanted to help. Gain this experience, gain the knowledge, and because this is also another venture besides the in-ring world that I, you know, wanted to be a part of. I enjoy the behind-the-scenes work, the promotion aspect of it, the business aspect of it, promoting a product, and something, you know, you want to, that's presentable at the table at the end of the day, and not just be another independent to just run for the sake of running. We've done two shows, and I feel like we've really generated a buzz in a short amount of time, and it's become, in my eyes, a place to work. We've gotten hit up a lot this year about, you know, a lot of people coming in, and it's made us realize, I guess, we're doing something right, and, you know, because of all that stuff that happened before, we're like, you know what, we're going to do this on our own. I think we have the knowledge and experience to do it, and, you know, we're not millionaires. I don't make $1 million. It's just two guys. But at the end of the day, you know, it's just two guys with pride and just, you know, balls to do it. To run something that we are passionate about and have always wanted to do. And so, you know, so far, so good.
Back to you, Larry, or something to add?
Just to clarify, I mean, everything Matt said, and the one thing, like, when it really did come to kick in, like, you actually say, wow, this is happening, we were at a promotion myself working, and it was a benefit show, and just so happened that a young man was in the audience that I knew growing up, and he came up to me, and, I mean, he is not a wrestling fan, he just was there to support whatever the benefit was there, and he looked at me, and he said, listen, do you know guys do this? And, you know, everyone runs a benefit show, they're great. So I said, sure, and, you know, I left that a handshake, I'll get back to you. But when I went home and I told Matt, I just happened to run into my friend, it's like the light bulb just clicked in my head. I said, why go to another federation with this idea when here might be our chance to get the on-point banner or product out there to the masses? And that's when, in January, how the birth truly happened of all our On Point and our product in general, which really kick-started the next show and our now September show, which...
Well, before you guys went public, there was that was closed off.
Yeah, so it was an eight-man tournament, Matt? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was 2012. Last year, May 20-something of last year, we wanted to, like, test the waters, see where ideas were going. And the first idea we did like a Beyond Wrestling style underground tournament, no fans, just the workers, the boys. We sought out, like, you know, eight top of the, you know, up and coming guys, not really established guys that everybody knew, but eight guys that were hungry, that have the opportunity to be on point and are on point. And we did an underground tournament, like, you know, for guys that we've seen over the course of working shows, who we've met and know, you know, good, humble guys that were looking for an opportunity. So we put this tournament together. Wasn't about making money or anything like that with this. It was just test the waters and, you know, see where we were going from there. We did that, and, you know, from that point on, like, you know, after the tournament was all said and done, it was, you know, the next step is going live and to make, you know, this business is to entertain and make money at the end of the day. And so, like, you got to go live, and like, a lot of the monikers and, you know, for the shows, the now or never, nothing else matters, all or nothing. It's not, it's the concept and umbrella for the show, but it's also, it's for us as well. The first show is now or never, like, why not? Let's finally do it. It is now or never. The second show, nothing else matters. Nothing else did matter. This is, you know, all focus was on this one. And then on the 28th, it truly is all or nothing, because we, you know, put a lot of eggs in this basket for this one, and you know, hopefully it's successful and move on to the next.
Okay, so, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you're still going to run depending on the success of this one, or is there?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure of that, because all or nothing, or, yeah. Just wanted to make sure
all
of that.
All points here to stay. We're just
good. That's what I want to hear. I want to make sure of that, because it is one of my favorite promotions. And I love seeing it. I love the whole concept of it. Of course, when January 5th of this year rolled around, you guys finally go live, as Matt just said. Now, that show, how would you describe it for someone who might not have been there? Was it a success financially? Was it a success simply because it was finally done, or... I mean, how do you want to...
I mean, from my standpoint, honestly, from the moment we arrived at the building, I mean, you arrived at a million buildings when you in this sport and what we do, but, I mean, I pulled up that day, and myself and Matt, we looked at each other, and it was ours. It was happening, and that's a success. This is, I mean, money is a great thing. Everyone loves it, but to me, it was just hearing that first bell and welcome to On Point Wrestling from the ring announcer. I had goosebumps. I had goosebumps, and I literally, I mean, like I said, you sit there and you dream of this, and looking out, and I happened to be the managing Xavier Cross, where we were the opening contest, and I remember looking through the curtain and just seeing it, and you can't help but get the chill up your arm, and them chills come and go a lot in this. Sometimes frustration, I had it all the way up my arm, and I remember just looking at Matt and just smiling, like, we did this. This is the black and purple and On Point listen to that crowd. It's going, this is ours.
And, of course, the crowd for that one, I mean, that was probably the first time that that particular arena was sold out. I mean, standing room only, legitimately.
I mean, we put a lot of work, and as you should, as a wrestling promotion and being a promoter, you got to promote everything we could as far as social media goes, on foot, flyering every show imaginable, put all the hard work and effort into it, and when you look out the curtain, and you're like, and you just continue to just see people coming in, and the show starts, and you know, after I was done doing what I do, and just to be able to watch the main event go on, and just see the show happening and going on as the evening progresses, definitely a good payoff, and you know, the it's the first one, you'll never forget it, and. It meant a lot, and you know, because we don't have a huge team, you know, we don't have a lot of people helping us. It's just, you know, you gotta hustle hard, and that's what we did. And to draw, I think we did 220. That means the building was packed, and you know, and that's promising to see people wanting to come out and see something new. And hopefully, as we say, the slogan is, you know, prepare to emotionally invest in the On Point experience, and. I think they experienced something good that night.
That's a good point and a good question for you. Now, the on-point experience, emotionally investing, we've had conversations where we just think or we feel that fans these days aren't emotionally investing in the product. How do you want to get people emotionally invested in this? What are you trying to offer that other promotions might not be doing?
Well, it's not comparing to any other promotion, but the key is, for instance, if I go to a movie, okay, the lights go down, everyone is glued to the screen, all right? They tell you to turn your phones off. You're watching the movie. There's a reason your eyes are glued. You've emotionally invested in the product that's on the screen. Same is to be said with the ring. There's four sides. Straight to the middle is where the action is. It's up to you as the promoter to put what's in the middle of that ring, something to grasp, hold, and maintain their attention. And that is everything we're trying to do. Emotionally invest them. Make them want to watch. Make them want to see the next move. Make them want to see so-and-so win. It's engaging them, keeping their attention locked. I mean, you can have 12 matches and just keep running and it's blah and... You lose them, and they're looking at their iPhones, and they're waiting to go home. Or you can put a product in the middle of the ring that says, I am watching this. I am locked. I want to be here. And you actually dig out the love, the passion for them as a fan. Make them want to be there. I mean, there's a product on TV that we all watch, and I'm not going to say I don't, that every single person is looking in the ring. So why don't we do that?
Have anything to add to that, Matt?
ECW had all the slogans over the years, like, you know, politically incorrect and damn proud of it.
Experience,
you know,
the difference.
That's, they went out there and just, you know, put out what they were going to do, and they did it. And it's similar to this, being an ECW fan growing up, the similarities. But that it's not just the catchphrase. Like, we truly try to put on a product that's a little mix of everything, what works in the business today, what people enjoy. And I think in two shows thus far, you know, we've built a small, small core fan base that's slowly building because they emotionally invested, and hopefully they continue to do so as, you know, we continue to put on a product that they'll enjoy and give them a little bit of everything, you know, with the comedy and the hardcore and just the good wrestling, just an overall good experience. The product in the ring, the overall flow of the show, it's just being there and enjoying yourselves and getting your money's worth when you pay your ticket.
Okay. Before I continue, I'm going to bring on Dan, our co-host, and if he has any questions, I'll allow him to. Dan, are you there with us?
Yes, sir.
All right. Do you have a question before we move on for either Loudy or Matt? And if you have one for Matt, I'll relay it.
No, the question is for both guys because, you know, I see you guys at a bunch of shows, and I see you guys at a bunch of shows with, I'll say respectfully, different turnouts as far as fans. And you're starting a company like this, and you're getting on to like your third or fourth show. When you go to the other shows, do you ever get nervous or gun shy?
Well, actually, Dan, the thing is when you compare yourself to someone, you're already limiting your expectations in my eyes. So I kind of always take notes of, like you said, when I go to these other shows. But, I mean, if when you do something, the way I look at it, by doing this, once you're in, you got to go all in. It's like poker. All in, put it all in. And I can't compare to anyone else because everyone rides a bicycle different. Everyone drives a car different. We're going to run different than the next fed and the next fed and the next fed. If I want to copy, I don't want to be a mirror image of anyone. I don't want to take, but if I get, you can't be nervous when you do this because if you fear failure, you've already failed in my eyes. Matt?
And at the end of the day, we don't have anything to lose because it's something we both love and enjoy, and this is what we wanted to do. And it's, you know, we're running on pride and balls, and this is what we've done in the two shows that we have so far. If we fail, we tried. You can never say that. We've built a respectable reputation with everybody we've done business with, and we've had two great and tremendous locker rooms within the first two shows. And both locker rooms so far really felt like a family. Guys, the New York card that came up for our last show, Monster Mac, Sam Shield, some of the top guys, and young Mike Drastak, Angel Ortiz, that came up from New York, they felt welcome and like a family as soon as they got in the building that day. That's something we built, and it's something you want to build and continue to, and that's just all the things that come together. But at the end of the day, if all or nothing, or we don't run for however long, and we only do a couple more shows, we did this, and I believe it's been successful thus far, and we will continue to try our best to continue to be successful. But, if you fear and you're nervous going in, you might as well not even try. But also that fear and nervousness fuels the fire. You're like, oh, you want to try this. You want to do this. And, so far, so good, I guess.
Do you have anything else, Dan? Another question?
Not right now. Go ahead. Take it, and I'll let you know.
Now, going into the second show, this is for you. You had a health scare at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting into that, but you weren't able to perform.
Yeah.
And I know how much you were looking forward to the match with Louis Ramos. How do you come back from something like that? Because, of course, within a couple of weeks, everything was fine. You had a clean bill of health. But how do you come back from that? Because that seemed a very low point for you personally, and now you're rebounding to starting the future again. I mean, how do you come back from that?
Now, though, and Louis on a personal basis, like in growing up watching him, look, it was one of the matches this year I most look forward to, and to be able to give a veteran like Louis that match, and to not be able to do it, really ate me up. And I was going through a lot of, it was a pretty low time for me with the scare and other stuff going involved. But it's just, the first show, we lost our original building before the first show, the week up. So we dealt with that. The second show, we had to deal with my health scare. And but I think we rebounded from that well. And, booking wise, we're able to put something together, very quickly. And which wound up continuing the Drew Blood and Pinky Sanchez story, which is on points, main angle, main, star that we, look at. And I know Lottie isn't too fond of Pinky Sanchez, but I'm pretty sure we'll get into that later. But, Drew Blood and Pinky Sanchez, they stepped up to take that main event spot and give, we advertised the Fans Bring a Weapons match, and they stepped up, and they were able to do the match and send the crowd home happy, and they got what they came to see and paid for. But being in there, not really, it really sucked. But at the same time, I wasn't able to perform, but we're still going to give the fans what they want. And I still have the show, to run. Make sure everybody else is doing good, everything else is going sound, and, making sure the show's, the flow is good, and everybody else is good. So it sucks, but there's a lot of other things on my table I had to take care of that day. So I thought, the task at hand. So
all right, Lottie, go ahead.
Just to touch on that, that's what we're talking about. For instance, we're scrambling around because it is such this bad news, and we tried to actually line up something, and that actually fell through too. And to see a Drew Blood and Pinky Sanchez literally raised our hands. And that's what, I mean, when you have a locker room and you have, like, it's just like a family. If something goes wrong and people step up and literally raise their hand and say, I will go do this. And that's because those two believe in what we're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, to me, I was involved in that match, and I literally, myself even just said, listen, we this is it. We have a crowd out there that's expecting something, and regardless of anything that happened, and you got to turn a negative into a positive. I believe on that night, we grew as promoters and a company together in that tragedy. I believe it made us stronger in the long run.
And it showed that you can overcome something like that, something that comes up last minute. I mean, because you relatively found out, days earlier, hours even.
The show was a Saturday, and I found out everything on Thursday morning.
Yeah, I mean, so it showed you that you quick thinking, and you have a locker room that will stick together to get the product out there, and I think that's a really big thing. Now, getting into talent, where are you getting the idea for talent? I mean, why, like a Devin Moore, for example, or why a Drew Blood, why a Pinky Sanchez? Where does the selection start from? I'll start with you, Matt, and then Loudy, you can...
I mean, I think in order to have a successful product, you have to have a mix of guys. Within South Jersey Wrestling in general, there's a lot of promotions now. And, you know, you don't want to use everybody that's on everybody else's card, because why are you going to invest into a character that you can see on that guy's show? Why would you come here to see it? You know, so we try to get guys that aren't working in the area, and also a lot of guys that are really making noise right now that aren't working the other top big promotions. So you want to bring them in and give them a home fit to make a name for themselves, which only benefits the promotion as a whole and themselves as well going forward. Guys like Sam Shields, Mike Drastak, Angel Ortiz, the whole New York card that came down for the last show. And then when you have the established veterans like a Drew Blood, who was out of action from CZW for a couple of years, came back and worked the smaller shows. And he came in as he was our top guy. If there's two top guys that have been there since day one, it's Drew Blood and Pinky Sanchez. And Pinky Sanchez in particular, you know, he's worked a lot of the big feds, and a lot of big feds don't give him the chance that, you know, a couple of years ago that they did. But in the eyes, in myself, he's a viable asset to the company. And like you said, he's been there for us, and he's on point, till the end. And just an overall mix of guys that to give a chance, because, you know, CZW has their top guys and guys they've made stars, and they gave them a platform to apply their craft and to make themselves a name and a brand. That's what we're trying to do. This show coming up, bringing in different guys that haven't been in the area in quite some time or haven't made noise as of late, and they're looking for that next opportunity to break out. And, you know, Brandon Kuma's coming in for the next show. And one man in particular, Scott Summers. Bar none, All or Nothing's all about Scott Summers and Chris Dickinson. You know, Dickinson, he's one of the guys that are on fire as of late this year. He's made a name for himself beyond AIW. And lately CZW, but Chris Dickinson, you know, strong style guy, and, you know, he can work, but people know Dickinson. Scott Summers, was the last time he was in the Northeast, was at a tournament in Delaware, and told a story and had a great, match with Psychology with Masada in Delaware, and, took a pile driver on center blocks, and, you know, gave everything he had for a company that wanted exactly what he gave them. And, he hasn't been back to the Northeast since. That's out of my hands. But if you look at it and you see a guy like a Scott Summers who's been around in the Texas area, has worked all
He's
the time.
Huge in Texas.
He's, you know, a top guy. NWA, Houston, Anarchy Championship Wrestling. He's a top guy down there. And Scott Summers is one of those guys that would be bigger and people would know more about him up here in the Northeast. It's just you need that exposure. And Scott Summers coming up at All or Nothing, and him and Dickinson, is just a prime example of, all right, we're going to bring in the guy who's hot and making a name for himself. And we're going to bring in this guy who hasn't been up in this area and is looking for that one match. And putting them together, and, it truly is World War III. with these guys. They've promoted the show as well. They've been going at it on social media. But this is, it's just a prime example of guys like that. And then you got guys like Jaka, who's made a name for himself lately, and like you call him, and the Wrestling Is companies who started and beyond. And now we, you know, bring him in and give him an opportunity. The list just goes on and on. It's about just bringing in the right guys. And it's not just, it's also not bringing in just in anybody, because you want to make that, you want to have that family locker room, and I'll come back to that, because you want to have a comfortable atmosphere for everybody. Everybody can get along. You try to stay away from politics and drama, and you know, so far we've been good with that. We've been able to bring in people that we know, that we've met, that we've been in contact with, and it's a process. It's just, because a lot of people have hit us up on email, Facebook, and Twitter. Hey, can I get booked? It's more than just watching your match. It's knowing an individual personally and how they are as a human being, and bringing them into our environment and welcoming them home. And you know, everybody has been great thus far, and I can't say nothing bad about who we brought in.
Have anything to add? Or?
I just like to touch that, like what Matt is saying. It's basically, it's not just talent. It's character. It's someone that is going to be there. And Ego Free was like our slogan for the first show. I remember saying it, welcome to Ego Free. And everyone there, you have that light in their eyes. And everyone wanted to be there. They weren't there for the quote-unquote, I guess, payday. They were there for On Point. And they're guys that we look for. And when people come to us, I evaluate them. And it's just like a job in real life. You look at, if you interview for a job and I own companies and you go to my companies and there's an application process and you do an assessment and you look, we want character. We want guys that are willing to be on point and want to be there, not just waiting to go to the next show. Yeah. Helping us share, retweet, like, I mean, it's a process. And all the guys in our locker room, I cannot say, I can sit here all night and tell you how happy I am. Every single one of them has given their all and their desire and passion. And Matt mentioned the New York trip and their guys through, it's networking. It's knowing that Pinky Sanchez, who then knows these guys, introduces you, and you learn. And a Celeste, Mascara Celestial. I mean, there's an unknown tap talent right there. But you hear about them through certain people, and you check them out, you meet them, and you learn, and you get to know them. And I mean, that young man gave it his all on our last show. And I mean, it's just, it's a breath of fresh air sometimes to walk into a locker room where every single person is ready and willing and desire and passion. And I mean, these are all, they're not buzzwords. They're actually our motto. And I like to look at this as you're building a tight chain, and there's going to be no links. There's not going to be any kinks. It's just straight through. And we're just looking forward to, you know, expanding, but keeping, and you want to build. You want to build the solid core that we have. And I trust our locker room as well. I mean, as does Matt.
100%.
All right. So, Dan, do you have anything before I move on? Or?
Yeah, I mean, superstars aside, when you are trying to come, you, all right, I'll preface it like this. You guys are involved in 100 other federations. How the heck do you keep things fresh? Do you have a formula? I mean, I know you guys aren't taking a stab in the dark. How do you guys keep it fresh?
Well, I mean, a lot of it is to keep things fresh. You have to be innovative. You can't, I mean, you have to have a somewhat of a intelligent desire to, I mean, we're not trying to redo the wheel or nothing, but we're trying to step out of the norm. I mean, I like our roster as it blends different styles, different people. But I mean, some things work and some things don't. And some things really don't. And some people try to make the things that don't work, work. And that kind of spoils it a little bit for other shows. But I mean, if it doesn't work, I'll be the first one to say, hey, I tried it. It didn't work. Let's move on. And I think it's the people that fear moving on after something bad. Oh, God, it didn't work. What should we do? And they scramble. Have some, I mean, you have to have some pride in what you're doing and no fear. Oh.
You have to, I mean, with the whole interest thing, there's so much wrestling out there, especially in this area where we're running now. South Jersey is a an oversaturated area now.
Oh, definitely.
There's a lot. It's like the ECW Arena was 5 years ago when everybody and their mother was running there. But, to keep interest, bringing in different guys, because there's a lot of guys that work a lot of the same shows in the area. So you bring in different guys. You bring in the New York guys. And you bring in the Scott Summers. But you have to be confident in the product that you're putting out, knowing it will continue to keep interest. And I think we've definitely done that thus far with only one and two shows. And we're just getting started. You know, so you have to build your foundation first, and then the building blocks start, and people will then emotionally invest, catch on to the product, and continue to support it, which will hopefully keep their interest and going forward and buying their ticket at the end of the day.
Yeah, to touch on that, I mean, I can't count the number of people that come up to me and say, why don't you guys run every month? And I'd like to just, I mean, since we're here, 2013, January, May, September 28th, and November 23rd, four shows quarterly. That's what the plan's been since the beginning. Going forward, we're hoping to expand that, but it's slow and steady wins the race. We're selling a product to you fans, and we could run every month and maybe not have as much impact as what we're trying to do, and I believe this format will work when it's all said and done. When you look back from 2013 and you look at the four shows that we put out, I believe that On Point will be, you know, something that people go, wow, you know what, that was a great start. I'd like to see more of them, and that's what it is. It's making you want to come back to the next show. I mean, because there's a lot of options, as we've said. There's thousands of feds every week, and I'm sure you can find a wrestling show to go to. But there's those ones that you want to go, I want to go to that. I can't miss that. That's what I want. I want someone to say, I can't miss On Point.
Now, touching upon that, do you think on the flip side, I know you said your business plan from the start was quarterly, but do you think that maybe somebody that was there in January and they had to wait till May, do you think that played a factor maybe?
I don't think it hurts because there's so much wrestling in the area, and like I think it makes the shows more meaningful right now. You may have to wait a little bit of time, but you know that sometimes that anticipation will build and build and build, and makes you buy a ticket. But that's why if you're only putting on four shows a year, you're going to get your bang for your buck because we're able to emotionally, put everything we can into those shows to maybe come back.
And then expand. I mean, I'm sure Matt will agree with me on this. I mean, the first show was, as we talked about earlier, I don't know if we were trying to prove anything to anyone more except proving something to ourselves. First show was put on, and, I mean, there's a notion that I don't really think maybe at first there was going to be a second show. It was more like we did this, that was On Point, but fans actually came to us, and there was a gap in between the first and second show, but I believe it was people coming up to us and going, hey, when's your next show? And you start to hear that, and you go, you know what? Let's do it.
I mean, we must have did something right. That's just, that's not blowing smoke up our ass. It's legitimately just fans coming up, hitting up on Facebook, hey, when's On Point coming back? And, to have that impact in a building where a lot of other promotions run there too now, but for them to, hit you up, hey, when you guys, when are you coming back? And when's the next show? And when you have the quarterly events, I like the quarterly events preferably right now. We have time to promote and build them up,
sure.
And tell a story in the promoting and in the promos, and just it gives us enough time to really put on the show we want to do, and which will eventually lead to other things and hopefully more shows and bigger shows in the future. And it's sometimes I think that when you wrestle is one aspect for me. Putting on watching the ECW growing up and then going, everybody knows my story with CZW, and I used to go there. I paid a ticket every month because I saw two guys, Eddie Kingston and Nick Gage, and I was emotionally invested as a fan, and I paid my money to see those two guys. And I saw a product at CZW that I always wanted to support and be a part of, and I hope that's what we're doing now with On Point. Now, there's a kid in the crowd seeing a guy like Chris Dickinson or Scott Summers on the 28th, and they just become emotionally invested in their characters, and they want to continue to support the product, and they come back. And it doesn't matter when the next time we run a show is, whether it's the following month or 6 months from then. They're just going to continue to support.
I mean, to touch on that, I mean, there's a lot of fans. Like, if you remember the ECW era toward the end, I guess, in 99 through 2001, once they went to pay-per-view, the arena was kind of the house show. They only came back to Philly, like, every once in a while.
Oh, true.
And but when they came back, similar to Ring of Honor, sort of, how they come back to Philly every once in a while, the line's still down the street because those fans desire and their passion to see it again and believe in it. And, I mean, that's what On Point is. When we are able to run every month, we hope by then, I mean, it's you're already sold. You know On Point. And that's...
Do you think with your roster, of course, getting guys from Texas, you're getting a lot of New York guys, do you think it would be feasible for you to get guys like that in on a monthly basis? Once the I know we're talking like months and months, years ahead, but do you think it would be feasible for something to happen?
You know, hopefully one day that's the goal, and you know, financially wise, that you know, running every month, you know, is a, you know, that's a whole different animal. But it's like a lot. There's a lot of fans that run every month, but a lot of different fans have, you know, different tables in the next company in town. Yeah. You know, one guy that's local, costs a lot less than somebody else that, you know, you bring in. So money comes into play, finances come into play, but, you know, you got to take a little bit of a risk and, you know, you got to put some money out to make some money and so your product is good at the end of the day.
Do you have anything to add?
Well, you know, it's all about lining up the right people, making it happen, and... Like, I think we've done an excellent job with the people that we've put in a certain spots. I mean, it's building a roster that is affordable, and your full value is coming. And I mean, can't touch enough. I'm overwhelmed by what we've had so far. But at the same time, I personally, and Matt agrees with me, and everyone uses the motto "one day at a time." I like to look at it as one show at a time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can tell you right now, like, I got all these great ideas, but it's all on September 28th. Build that up to the, blow it out, and then the next show, November 23rd, you move forward. So put all your eggs in the basket, see how it goes. Then the next day, that Monday, you're right, Monday, whatever it is, you're right back to the office, and you got the notebook out, and you're putting down your notes, and you're moving forward with all eyes forward. But If you skip that and you might skip something that you need to hit on that night if you're already looking forward to other shows. So it's in the beginning process. This is our foundation. We're building a house. This is the groundwork. We're putting a solid wall up for this promotion right now by managing our money tight and moving it forward in the shows, the quarters, and then maybe the year you expand. But it's as we're doing it right now, the format's working, and we hope to move it forward in a positive way and keep people engaged and have them coming out and wanting to see us. It's over.
All right. Dan, did you have anything else?
I did. The Proving Grounds, I got a two-part question. You lost the original venue the first show. How did the Proving Grounds get involved that quickly?
He can hear it, so.
Right off on that, I mean, I'm not going to... I personally work for New Moon, Matt works for New Moon, and the staff there are very, I mean, they're nice guys, and they run a great promotion, and I mean, look for opportunities. First thing I thought of when we lost the building, you take a step back, it's overwhelming, I was kind of, you know, you're nervous, you're 1 week.
And that was, that was the week
of. Literally 1 week before the show, our ceiling fell, you take two steps back, and I looked around, and I said, all right, you make a little checklist. I remember writing down six buildings right away and going, who can we reach out to? Who can we in our network? You open your book up, and I looked, and I thought of New Moon. They were on my list, and I called them, and I cannot say enough kind words for New Moon and the Proving Grounds. Wolfcock's amazing, and we appreciate that they opened their doors to us.
They helped us in the jam. because, I mean, and New Moon's in Deptford. We were running in Runnymede, which isn't very far. We lost our building. The course events were out of our hands, and something that we couldn't, wasn't respond, you know, it wasn't because of us. It was, you know, out of our hands. But we did everything we could, you know, because we weren't going to cancel. We weren't going to do that. And New Moon has been very gracious with us and has been very helpful. You know, their building is a viable, a big asset, and it helps us, and it's accommodable, and I got nothing to say. The staff of New Moon has always been helpful, and they have played a big part in All Points' early history.
You had two parts of that question, Dan?
Yeah, I was going to go right into it. Sorry, Dean.
Okay.
A lot of people have said things about that building. I think, the size of it, it's a good building for wrestling. Now, on my side of it, I get a different perspective. What is it like in the ring, on the floor, in the show, a building that size being that close to the audience?
Personally, I'm very close to them. I don't like it. I mean, on that notion, I'll be frank with you. I really don't like it at all. But I will say that from a fan standpoint, I guess, if you're looking at it from their eyes, I mean, hey, if you go to the Wells Fargo Center tomorrow to see Monday Night Raw, you could be on top of the bleachers in the nosebleeds.
Yeah.
And that's not happening in that building. It didn't happen in the ECW arena. You actually engage more being that close. I mean, but for my, they're way too close for me. I believe I've heavily stopped security for our next event as well. But on that aspect of just the up close and personal, I mean, you feel them breathing down your neck. You know they're there. You can't. I hear them chanting mean things. I don't want to get into that, but I mean, I'm sure Matt feels it when he's in the ring. You feel it. You feel the energy.
The question is pretty much a venue the size of the Proving Grounds. It's a more intimate atmosphere. I mean, how does it feel inside the ring?
I like it because like an old how the Deptford building is. The intimate setting, as you said, when the place is packed, like it was in January, it's an awesome atmosphere, and it's truly, I guess, experiencing the experience. It was awesome. That's how, it's like it was a sweat box full of people that wanted to see wrestling, and it was awesome.
Okay, what I want to do now, I'm going to take a music break. This is music by the Mystery Men I'm going to play, just to give us a chance to recharge, and when we come back after this, we're going to talk about the upcoming show, the matches, and we're going to break everything down in that manner. So this is the Mystery Men, Blood Will Flow. Dan, we'll be right back in about 5 minutes.
Blood will flow from the top of your head. to the bottom of your soul. Might even turn on your elbows. Nod your head up and down. Here we go. Stand tall. Ride hard. Fly low. Don't ever fall. Stand tall. Fly.
Germs, we are the Mystery Men.
All right, so that, of course, was the Mystery Men with Blood Will Flow. And that's right. I am back, of course, with Loudy and Matt Tremont, of course, the promoters for On Point Wrestling as we continue this discussion. Dan, before we move on to the next card, did you have anything before? Because now we're going to really get intense and in-depth with the upcoming card.
No, brother, go.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. You're my guy, so.
Yes, sir. No, we're good.
Did you have something?
I just want to say, hello, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Loudy. How are you, gentlemen?
I'm good. You can continue.
Okay.
I wouldn't miss this for the world. He told me, Loudy, Matt Tremont. I was like, I want to do it.
I want to squeeze your cheeks.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Now, of course.
You better next time I see you.
I will.
If you did want to call in, the phone number is 718-664-9133 if you have any questions for either Matt or Loudy, the financial miracle, Loudy. Now, of course, the media outlets are onpointwrestling.com. You can follow them on Twitter at onpointwrestling, and, of course, the G is dropped off. You can like them on Facebook at On Point Wrestling, and they do have a YouTube. They have put out a lot of matches on YouTube from the first show. Pretty much almost the entire first show is on the YouTube at this point. I mean, almost the entire show. And that is, of course, youtube.com/onpointwrestling. Now, starting out this next show, I'm looking at the format sheet, and it's a very exciting card that you guys have put together. some great matches. I'm going to start out with the Fantastic Four-Way, and this is the third one you've done. This is, of course, the staple match, as you guys say, for On Point Wrestling. Now, of course, you have this one, the talent involved in this, I think, is really amazing. It's Robbie Marino. Now, Robbie is a longtime veteran on the East Coast scene. He's been in Maryland. He's been all over the place, champion wherever he's gone. You have Rory Mondo, a guy who is seeking respect. He's gone to Japan, been everywhere. But really, the biggest thing with Rory Mondo is respect. We had him on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. He was talking about that. Mr. On Point, the winner of the tournament for the boys, Leon St. Giovanni. Of course, his manager, John Harder, will be there as well. And Anthony Cortez Haynes, a guy who is so brash, he calls himself God. Now, when you look at this match on paper, I mean, what are your thoughts about it? I'll start with you, Matt, and then Lowney can take it from there.
I think this is the most interesting this will be the third, of course. I think it's the most interesting of the Fantastic Four thus far, because I think it has the characters in this one all have their own little stories going. And Anthony Cortez Haynes, for those who don't know, he's had the opportunity of applying his craft in Puerto Rico as of late. So he's, continuing to improve his game. So he's coming back to the States for the first time, and it will be at On Point. Robbie Marino is an OG of the game, and always is a valuable asset to the company, good friend of mine, somebody I respect.
You could say an asset to the locker room, really. Well, I mean, he's really that veteran.
Rory's an up-and-coming guy and a good hand. Like you said, seeking respect and trying to make a name for himself.
Undefeated in On Point Wrestling, by the way.
And, of course, Mr. On Point, who is undefeated, going back to the original tournament in 2012. He's never lost, and he's held that moniker, and he is Mr. On Point. Whether he feels that, Mr. On Point is underutilized or in his eyes, in his manager at times, but truly, go out there and prove that you're Mr. On Point in a four-way with three other guys that are going after that moniker, and they want to be On Point, and go out there and live up to your name.
Yeah, I believe in this one. I mean, you have two things that are like stand out to me in this match. You see, one, the right to say you won a Fantastic Four-Way. I mean, the two past winners, LJ Cruz and Omasa's, our previous winners. I mean, that alone, and I mean this one. The chase is on. Leon St. Giovanni is brash, cocky. He walks in there with the moniker on his shoulders. But if one of these men pin him, they get the right to call himself Mr. On Point. It's something, Leon, he has a lot of pride in that name, and I'm sure he's going to be fighting everything he has to do. He's going to pull it all out. You have Robbie Marino, who at the last show showcased in his debut against David Starr, that he is here for a reason, and he's looking to add another nickname to his long list of amazing names. Definitely. That Robbie has. And Robbie is a straightforward guy. I know he's gunning for Leon, and like you said, I mean, Rory Mondo is looking for respect, and he garners it when he goes in the ring, and he's going to give it his all to walk out there and call himself Mr. On Point and show the fans and anyone else that's watching that he is the man that you need to respect when he's in there. And I believe Rory's got a lot of heart and untapped potential. You talk about that, you hear that tossed around. Anthony Cortez Haynes is a definition of what we were talking about. It was in the first four-way, and he lost. I mean, that's bitter. He didn't get pinned either. He's hungry. Last show, he defeated Sam Shield. So Anthony's going with a hot hand. He's in Puerto Rico right now. He'll be coming back. And, I mean, all these guys are gunning for two things. I mean, pin Leon, take the moniker, win the four-way, showcase yourself, stand alone, the Fantastic Four-Way winner. This is one of the matches that I'm going to sit back and really watch, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Now, the next one is Good News Timothy Hughes. Of course, he is a reporter, always looking for the scoop. He's taking on the returning Deptford's own Ryan Castellucci. Lowdy, you first, then Matt, your thoughts on it very quickly.
Well, I've gotten good word from Mr. Hughes that he has a story for the Deptford fans. Ryan Castellucci is the hometown boy. He's from Deptford. He's been out in Arizona applying his craft in wrestling. He's returning now. He'll be debuting for On Point. And when we put this match together, and I let Tim Hughes know, he smiled on the phone, and I remember him laughing, and I told Matt, I said, Tim Hughes is dropping a bombshell, and I just can't wait to hear what this bombshell is. And I know Ryan's, you know, his fan base at Deptford's own, they're all going to be there, but Tim Hughes has promised that he's going to drop something that is going to leave a sour taste in Mr. Castellucci's mouth, and I'm looking forward to it. And Matt, will you?
Just an added attraction to the show. You got Deptford Zone coming back after, you know, time away. He hasn't been in the area in quite some time. And Tim Hughes is another young guy that's made his name in On Point and has been, you know, climbing the ladder. And that should be a good contest.
And Tim Hughes is, I personally tune in Connecticut when I'm out there, and he's a dual sport athlete, Connecticut Broadcaster of the Year multiple times. I mean, this guy has a story. It's going to be something juicy, and I'm looking forward to him dropping it.
All right, now the next one is Oz Tyler taking on Black G's. Now, of course, he has other names. Sabian, he's been part of Blackout. He's been around this business and a champion in this business for ages. What are your thoughts? I'll start with you, Matt, and then Loudy.
I think that there's a real good story going into this match. Everyone knows who the Black G's is. Ring veteran, internationally traveled performer. He's been on TV, and he's worked for most of all the major wrestling companies in the business. His name is known, and you know his accomplishments. And for him to come into the On Point locker room, looking forward to it. It's another good name and veteran to have there that can, you know, go out there and do what he does in the ring and bring something to the locker room and the company as a whole. As for Oz Tyler, I've known Oz personally since he started training. For the same promotion, where I got my start. And when I heard about this kid when he was training, I was told about him, and I wanted to see what he was all about. He's a good, humble 19-year-old kid, and seeing him train, things just come naturally to him, and he's continued to get opportunity after opportunity, and he's knocked the ball out of the park every time. And we gave Oz opportunity at the last show in the four-way, and he excelled all expectations, and he gets his biggest test to date on September 28th with the Black G's, and it's the rookie versus the veteran, and I think it'll have a good story to tell.
I look at this match, and I see, obviously, the moniker, the rookie versus the veteran, but there's two intangibles here. There's one, having G's in our locker room, the knowledge, the experience, the veteran leadership to just, you know, it extends. Like, you look forward to that because you know that...
It's kind of odd you bring that up, and I'm sorry I'm cutting you off in your thought there, but the other one we were saying that about was Robbie Marino and Black G's. Of course, they're, you know...
stay tuned there. I mean, you never know.
I mean, they're acquaintances other places.
100%, yes.
So... who knows how that plays out?
You know, I mean, stay tuned. But I mean, just having G's in the locker room, I mean, it adds to it. And I mean, what better way to test a new guy by putting him in the ring with a veteran that, similar to us, G's back when he started was in this position as well. I mean, this is the nature of the business. You get your test. And personally, when I can't speak highly, I mean, I always will. When I speak of Oz, get a little, you know, you see someone, you meet someone, and I remember meeting him for the first time, and you meet 1,000 people in this business, but you only meet a couple that have that look in their eye where you just go, yeah. And he, I mean, firm, he's been there, myself, Matt, and Xavier, since we met this man, he's always been humble. I mean, his name should be humble. He's absorbing, he's a sponge, and this is, I'm looking forward to watching him just grow in the ring, because this is his shot, this is his moment, he deserves it. There's a lot of people out there that might not think he does, but they, whatever, but he...
I'll tell 100%. You what, just as someone observing his career, you can see how much, just show to show, really, with him, whatever show it might be, how much he's improved,
listen,
really.
I personally have seen this kid by himself in a gym. Shadow wrestling by himself in a gym because no one else showed up on that night, but Oz did. Oz has the fire and passion to succeed in his business, and he was there many times, and look out for this kid. I'm not just tooting someone's horn because he's on our show. This is a humble, hardworking young man that words cannot express how much Oz Tyler means to On Point and wrestling in general. I mean,
wow. Moving right along, another one, another On Point, I can't think of the word right now, but mainstay is Latin Dragon with Chrissy Rivera. And now this one, I'm very excited to see, as a fan, taking on Mascara Celestial. Mascara Celestial, of course, from the New York area, just recently was on NBC Universal. So, I mean, you have a guy that's getting out there, such as now fans down in this area might not know, but that goes back to your game plan of getting an attraction that people may or may not see. So what's your thought? I'll start with you, Loudy, of this match.
I look at this one, and three words come to my mind. Lucha, lucha, lucha. Let it happen. If you watch the end of the Fantastic Four-Way on the second show, you'll see that moment as Amasis leaves the ring and Oz leaves the ring. Them two are left staring at each other, and it's right there that this concept came. Wait a second. We put the two in the four-way. Now let's let the lucha happen. Lucha is an amazing contrast to wrestling. It's awesome, and on the 28th, we're just going to let it ride. And going back to what you said, just to touch on it, you say, like, no one does know Mascara Celestial, but in the past histories, I mean, if I had asked the guys in line how many people knew who Super Crazy Vance Jerry were that night, I don't think many of them would have known.
Exactly.
But they knew after that moment. So this is another one. If you don't know, now you know.
Just something different that we can try to provide in our game plan. There's not a lot of, you know, lucha going on, but it's that mix of things that, you know, and blends and styles that you got to bring to make your product different, you know. But like Lobby said, Mascara, unknown, that has unlimited potential. Latin Dragon's been in the game for a little bit now, and they teased it a little bit at the last show. It's all about lucha in that match. That's what I'm looking forward to.
As long as Chrissy keeps her hands out of the match, we should be good.
There you go. Gran Akuma taking on the Machine SV Shields. I mean, just signing that one, that's a main event on a lot of other shows, but there's so much more with this show. It's a little further down the card. I mean, you're talking a legitimate main event on a lot of different other cards. I mean, how do you guys feel about getting Akuma and then this match?
Two veterans. A lot of people, you know Akuma and what he's done, Chikara, and his history there. Sam Shields, I think after watching, you know, the May On Point show, and he really came in and tore it up, and I'm a big Sam Shields fan, and I believe Akuma and Sam Shields, that it could be, you know, one of the sleeper matches, a show stealer, and, you know, those two veterans will go in there and work, and, you know, looking forward to, you know, their opportunity. You know, Akuma in this area, you don't get to see a lot now. And Sam Shields coming, you know, in from New York. So I think that, like I said, show stealer, you know, it's a sleeper match on the card. I look forward to seeing good things out of that one.
We just touched on the humbly opening our doors for experience. A guy like Gran Akuma coming into your locker room, being able to help the younger guys, being able to share his stories, learn from him. Him wanting to come to On Point, being ready to face Sam Shields, eager. Sam Shields, passionate about coming down to Philadelphia, New Jersey area, showcasing his talent up here. It's all about opportunities, and this match, like Matt said, you often say this could be the sleeper, but, I mean, there's highlighted matches on the show that are garnering the attention, but look out for this match when it's all said and done as one of the matches that you sit back and go, wow, I can't wait to get this DVD from Smart Mark Video and watch this match. I mean, because their history speaks for themselves respectfully, but now they get to showcase it for On Point. I'm looking forward to this one.
This one's close to you. The feud continues. It's a six-man tag team match. Now, it's Pinky Sanchez and EYFBO, and that's Mike Drastic and Angel Ortiz, taking on your guys, highly entertaining wrestlers, and that's, of course, Drew Blood, Xavier Cross. You went out there, you found a caveman, and then, of course, yourself at ringside. I mean, a caveman?
Here's the deal, Dean. Listen, I mean, I guess, you know, I wasn't being too involved in each of the other matches talking, but I will shed some light on this. Pinky Sanchez, Drew Blood, is still continuing. The fire, they don't like each other. We've seen it from the first two shows. It continued from 3 years ago. We brought it back. We were the only ones to put them in the ring. We had the quote-unquote, whatever explanative you want to put in there to do it. In the ring they go. The first show they killed it. We spoke about the last show. I mean, him and Pinky went out and got delirious, and the HEW was victorious against them too. And then in the main event, hey, we stood in through the trenches, and Pinky Sanchez, I mean, what he did to me is uncalled for. If anyone out there sees the footage, I am okay. I wasn't that night. It was shocking. He put his hands on me. It's never going to happen again, I promise you. But in regards to this match specifically, on point, we played it out. It's Pinky Sanchez as the captain of this team. He chose EYFBO. They're a tag team from New York. Mike Drastic made his debut. Ortiz is his partner. They are a fantastic tag team. I'm not going to talk badly. I can't talk badly about a talented team. Talent speaks for itself. They're an untapped potential team from New York that is now going to get their chance to showcase their talents here on the East, closer to Philly, Jersey area. But in regards to the match, I went out. You know, Drew, we sat down. We huddled up in the highly entertaining mansion. And Drew said, all right, let's put our team together. Obviously, you're going to be out there coaching us, managing us, doing what you do best, and that's what I do. And we looked, and, you know, obviously the first choice, you get the first pick. If it wasn't Xavier Cross, I mean, come on now. So we get Xavier Cross. He's going to bring everything he has. Xavier Cross, for those of you out there who haven't seen Xavier Cross, he is well worth the price of admission. Xavier Cross is an untapped talent. I'm not just putting him over because he's my client. Xavier Cross has not gotten the opportunities of a lot of feds, as well as highly entertaining, to showcase exactly what they can do as a tag team. You know, they're great, and they're always there for people. But, you know, we are a great tag team, and we're going to showcase it at On Point. And, you know, then you had the third partner, and we had to go out there, and, you know.
A caveman.
I am one, and this is all me. Drew actually, you know, he picked Cross, and he smiled, and he actually got up, and he went to get a soda. He goes, I'm wrestling Pinky, so you can pick whatever you want. And I kind of went, okay. And, I mean, I happen to be reading some, you know, we're heavily New York based, and I seen a clip, and I seen the caveman, and I said, you know what, I have an English bulldog, Xavier Cross is a parrot, Xavier Cross has many horses, we don't have a caveman, and you know what, when you got a lot of money, I mean, I'm the only one out there that right now could say I have a caveman, and unless you've seen him personally, come to On Point, because Wrestling's own caveman will be in action. He will be on our team facing Pinky Sanchez and his tag team. And Drew Blood will once again stand victorious. And the intangible in this match is the winning tag team, or six-man in this, gets to choose the other captain's opponent for November. So we are already licking our chops to where we're going to put Pinky next month, and then he can, I mean, then he gets second choice, so he can pick whoever Cross, where I mean, Blood wants to face, and me and Xavier will be standing there, we'll watch Blood, I mean, it's Drew Blood, folks, so you already know that Drew Blood is notorious, and he's going to beat anyone you put him against, so Pinky's in for it once this one's over, and Matt, I mean, you can add any light you want on this, I mean, you were the fantastic referee that counted the three count when Drew Blood defeated Pinky Sanchez. I didn't see it because Pinky decided to put me through a piece of table, and then I broke a ladder, and I don't even want to talk about it. You go.
It gave you a smile when you did that. Talk about that later. Pinky Sanchez, Drew Blood, you know, the feud rivalry continues. Six-man tag team action on September 28th. And it's different from anything else on the card. And it's who knows what will come out of that six-man at All or Nothing.
Now, this is a rematch from C4, Matt, up in Canada. The rematch is now on U.S. soil. On Point Wrestling brings it to its fans. Of course, it's yourself. The Bulldozer Matry, Matt, taking on Jaka. Now, I admittedly don't know much about Jaka. What does this... But I've heard great things about the match up in Canada. What does this match mean, not only to yourself, but for On Point Wrestling?
A lot of things going into this match for me personally and professionally. One, you know, on June 15th, C4 Wrestling in Ottawa, Canada, you know, had a spot open and gave me the opportunity to work their show. And one of my biggest things this year is branching out and doing other stuff besides deathmatch wrestling and showcasing that I'm more than just blood and guts. And I was able to go in there with Jaka, who's made a name for himself the last year or so, and is a talented worker, and I learned a lot working with him on June 15th, and we went to war in Canada, and I got a lot of admiration after that match from a lot of people showing the potential I have, and that in the actual working aspect, and you know, going out there and telling a story, and the respect with Jaka, who is a hell of a worker in himself. And to, I mean, it's just, and it's good business at the end of the day. It went great in Canada, and it was, and that was a surprise, you know, match on their card. And I think it will bring something different to the On Point card, because, and it means a lot to, different to me going into this show, because I missed the last On Point show, and I was salivating at my fingertips while I had to go in there and referee for the first time.
Did an amazing job.
It was fun. But when Pinky Sanchez and Drew Glover were in there, you know, rolling around in thumbtacks and hitting each other with, you know, stop signs and all that fun stuff, you know, I felt like I wanted to be in there. It should have been me and Louie, but, you know, circumstances, you know, took care of that. So I'm looking forward to coming back to, you know, this promotion and going in there with Jaka and having another good one and just going to war with him. Nothing but respect towards Jaka, but I'm hungry. And on September 28th, Tremont Jaka 2 goes down on American soil for the first time. And it's just another added match to an already loaded lineup.
Just to touch base on this one, when this happened in June at C4, and Matt was obviously up in Canada, I won't lie, I got a message maybe hours afterwards from a very knowledgeable fan, a very respectful fan. G-Boy, thank you. G-Boy was very quick to say, this is something you have to see. It was amazing. And, I mean, I know Matt personally, and I don't ever have to say, hey, by the way, Matt Tremont can wrestle. Because, you know, it sucks sometimes when someone garners a reputation because, hey, I mean, let's face it, Matt is an unbelievable deathmatch worker. Mm-hmm. However, Matt Tremont can wrestle, and Matt Tremont knows what he's doing in the ring. He's a professional. He's not a death match. That's all he does. And the opportunity, you know, meeting Jaka, I've had the opportunity to meet him at other shows, and you go, listen, C4 is a wonderful company, and they gave Matt the opportunity up there. Let's bring it to the U.S. soil. Let's see what we can do here. Let's have a rematch. Thank you, G-Boy, for recommending it. You must see this. And you heard the praise once the match comes out. People have talked about it. So here's an opportunity for two guys, Hungry Lions, ring the bell, let them go, and watch what happens. I guarantee this one's going to be just as good as the first one, and I'm looking forward to watching Matt expand his craft and, I guess, prove all the doubters out there to think Matt's a one-trick pony and don't want to give him an opportunity to possibly shine in the light of other opportunities. Watch this DVD, and that's all.
One thing I want to mention is this next bit of news is that Joey Janela will debut. Any comments about
that? If anyone's been following the feeds of On Point since our inception, Joey Janela is a young man that is, I mean, he's in the ring. He's an exceptional athlete. I've watched his matches. I've worked shows with him. However, Joey has taken it upon himself to kind of, let's face it, he's tweeted it on point several times saying, basically in a nutshell, that sounds great, but I'm not on your show, so it's not that good. It's not on point unless Joey Janela is there.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, dates come into effect on certain times getting someone in. Janela opened up, and, I mean, quite frankly, he sent us the message saying, I'm coming. And, I mean, whether you want to do the whole thing where you're at the front door not letting someone in. But, I mean, hey, we challenge our locker room. So whatever he has in store, whatever Joey's planning, whatever revolt he's and ideas he has, we're going to be ready for whatever he does. And
Joey's an unpredictable talent. It's made his name. he's been around, you know, a few years now, and then slowly, you know, getting his name more and more out there. When he comes in, he says he's better than on point. Come in and prove it. And Joey Janela, it's the ball's in your court now, and we're going to see what Joey Janela has in store.
I mean, from a standpoint like me and Matt, we could easily have been like, yo, buzz off, get out. But you know what? Hey, pardon me, and just this might just be me, but if someone says they're better than me or better than the company, I'm all about it. Hey, prove it. And Joey Janela is going to prove it on the 28th. Whatever he has in store, we'll be ready for it, and I'm looking forward to it.
Next match, and again, this is another match where it could be a main event. A lot of other places. It's first time ever meeting. It's a TNA Impact wrestling star, Sanjay Dutt, taking on the Funky Pharaoh, Amasis. Now, I mean, this is really, I'll start with you, Matt, this is really an amazing matchup of two talents that have really made a name for themselves.
We tried to bring in, you know, a name, a guy that's been around that's going to help your promotion grow and put on a good match so the fans get their money's worth. January was Homicide. May was Delirious. And, you know, this show, we're bringing in Sanjay Dutt. They know his history and what he's done in business. Impact Wrestling, you know, superstar. He's been on TV. He's been international. And he's taken on a guy who's, you know, made his wrestling return this year at On Point in January. And has been one of the cornerstones in the company. Has helped us in Amasis, and it's the first time ever meeting, like you said. And these two high flying hybrid athletes, who knows what's in store? And it's Amasis versus Sanjay Dutt. And I think the crowd, when you pay your $15 on September 28th, Amasis and Sanjay Dutt, they're going to go out there and kill it. You know, that's basically it. That's two athletes going in there, applying their craft, and showing why they're on point and the company overall in the end is. And, you know, I'll be sitting watching that one with a smile on my face, and have somebody like Sanjay and his credentials come into the company and help us out. And Amasis, who's, you know, been tearing it up everywhere he goes, and very happy to be able to put this match on and promote it. And I think the fans will definitely get those money's worth after that one's all over.
I mean, with this one, you take a step back and you just look at Amasis personally. I mean, here's the guy. If anyone's seen an Amasis match, him along with his partner at the portal, Fidian, Amasis gives everything he has when he's in the ring. You do emotionally invest in an Amasis match because he gives his passion, his desire, his willingness to succeed for the fans. And, I mean, he lost this. He was gone. He had an accident, fortunately, outside the ring, and some thought he would not wrestle again. And I mean, just personally, to see, wow, not only is he back wrestling, he's wrestling Sanjay Dutt for On Point Wrestling, came back for us. I mean, Amasis is a great guy, and he gives it all to his fans. And then you have the intangible of adding a Sanjay Dutt to your locker room, being able to talk to him. He brings the star power to your company, and is going to step in the ring with a young, they're, it's going to be one of them times where you just sit back and you have to catch yourself because you're like, wow, this match, this is happening. This is happening in the Proving Grounds. The hollow halls of the Proving Grounds expands another match to its repertoire and its resume of amazing matches that are happening in this building. And it's the winner, I wouldn't be able to predict it. I put that tweet out, hey, Where's the bet at? Where's the finance? My bookie guys are calling me. I'm trying to line out a bet, but I don't know where to put the money because this one is an experience versus a rookie. This is two guys that really can go. And, I mean, from I guess this side, I mean, maybe a little dancing happens. I don't know. These two both can move. I mean, this is the marquee that people look at and they go, wow. And at the whole point, we are proud that this is happening, and I'm very humbled to share a locker room with these men.
Now, of course, speaking with you guys personally, I know that this next match is probably one that you're both looking forward to, and the fact you got this together is amazing in its own right. Now, this is also first time ever. You have Showtime Scott Summers taking on Chris Dickinson. Scott Summers, as we said previously, huge in Texas. He's been around for quite some time. The last time he was on the East Coast was for a tournament in Delaware. And, of course, he's taken on Chris Dickinson, who's made quite a name for himself in Beyond Wrestling. So, I mean, he really revitalized his career in Beyond Wrestling. So you have two of these talents that are really hot right now. I'll start with you, Lally. This match, what's it mean for On Point?
First of all, just looking down at the paper and you look at these two and you know their credentials and you're looking at the possibility and you're trying to weigh the outcome of it, and that's one of these things where you're like, wow. Well, then taking a step back further and actually breaking down each individual. Chris Dickinson, hungry. And when Chris Dickinson walks out the curtain, you gaze at the eyes and you see determination. This guy, he's very... He makes me want, you step back, you're a little afraid, and when he enters the ring, it's all business. Pure technician, a strong style, he brings it, there's no joking around, he doesn't hold anything back, and Chris Dickinson will tell you right out the gate, the man, he's got a very intentions of, he's got some demonic intentions. I mean, he's a man of a lot of very... He's not winning any beauty contests. He's not trying to bake you a cake. He's trying to hurt you. Scott Summers, I mean, on a personal standpoint, Scott Summers, to me, is pure passion. Here's a guy that when you watch him wrestle, it's you know what's going on in the ring because he's making you watch every single move. He's walking you through a fight. He brings it. The man looks like he's ready for war. And quite frankly, Scott Summers, I had the chance to meet him after the tournament in Delaware and actually spend some time with him. And you get to talk to someone. This man is trained by Jerry Lynn. I mean, that right there speaks for itself. I don't want to get into all the stories on why this man's not been back up on the East Coast because that's really none of my business. And it's unfortunate. However, on September 28th, All Point Wrestling, you know, we're giving the opportunity to the fans to see Scott Summers. And a lot of people... You don't get the chance to see Texas wrestling, and there's a lot of great federations in Texas and the South in general of hidden talent, and Scott Summers is by far one of them, and the opportunity to bring him up and stand in the middle of the ring across from Chris Dickinson, ding the bell and let the Lions go. I mean, this is it. This is a World War III. It's happening. I mean, Matt.
Two raw, real talents. In the business today, if anybody has followed their happenings and they've been going back and forth at each other on Twitter. You know, in this day and age, and social media plays a big part in professional wrestling, and you have to pay attention to that. And if you do, they've been going at each other. These two, hungry and raw, and ready to go to war. World War III on September 28th. Dickinson, Scott Summers. Strong style. Extra security is going to be needed.
Let the bodies hit the floor.
Yeah, just going to let these two these two warriors go out there, tell a story, and do what they do. And it is the main event. And Scott Summers deserves the main event. I'm going to go out there and do what they got to do. And for $15 on September 28th. Sonjay Dutt versus Amasa's first time ever. Scott Summers and Chris Dickinson first time ever. Tremont and Jocka rematch on U.S. soil. Six man tag. Lucha Libre. List goes on and on.
Black Cheese Oz. Shields of Kuma. I mean,
the return of Castellucci.
Castellucci. Separate zone.
Castellucci.
Nine matches that are going to be on point for $15 on Saturday night, September 28th.
Yeah, of course, this is September 28th at the Proving Grounds, 1030 Delsey Drive, Building 4W in beautiful Deptford, New Jersey. Get out there. Tickets are only $15. They're on sale now, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes.
Yes, they are.
Where can somebody get tickets?
You can hit up any of these social media outlets for On Point. Get in touch with either myself or Laddie or the On Point staff, and we can make that happen, get the tickets to you. Ticket outlet will be open up soon at Mike's Airbrush, and they're going to auction. You can pick up tickets. Just hit us up. And if you're not able to get them in advance, tickets will be at the door, $15.
That's right. And, of course, media outlets, once again, onpointwrestling.com. Follow them at On Point Wrestling, drop the G. Like them on Facebook, On Point Wrestling. And, of course, the YouTube, where you can catch up on some of the history of On Point Wrestling.
That's right.
Subscribe at youtube.com/onpointwrestling. And, of course, if you would like to follow either Loudy or Matt, Loudy, what's your handle?
It's at Loudywood.
And, Matt, you are, of course, Tremont CZW.
Yes, wow, you know his and not mine. Interesting.
I was thinking it was Financial Miracle for some reason.
I knew it was Loudy.
Thank you, Dan.
Of course, Dan.
No problem.
So, of course,
I'm here for
Dan,
you, brother.
Do you have anything to add? We're, of course, in overtime at this point. So
I had another question, but you guys covered a lot, so I'll save it for another time.
Okay, of course, because this Wednesday we have Loudy and Xavier Cross coming back. Of course, Niles Young will be on the program as well. Some type of shoot. He has – something's bothering him, so I don't know.
Yeah. He's Italian.
He apparently he's told me that he has quote unquote nothing to lose. So I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
Doing somebody backstage.
Yeah.
For all you fans out there, Wednesday is my birthday, so you can send me any cards you want, and I will rip them up.
And of course, like I said, Loudy will be there. But of course, that starts the month where we're going to be talking about On Point Wrestling, All or Nothing, in a lot of detail from a lot of different angles. Go ahead, Dan.
I was thinking of a name for this month. We could call it On Point of Palooza WrestleFest.
Oh,
Dan, I'm going to ask you. Did you take the napkin off my coffee table, sir? Did you sneak into my mansion and take the napkin where we wrote that down the other morning? Because that is actually. Where did
go
you
ahead,
get
Lad.
That? Where did you get that from? Because that is actually what
I was thinking about it in the shower last night, if you want to know.
Oh, well, that's where things happen.
So,
yeah,
Dan,
that's where you went best.
What are we going to call this month?
We're going to call it On Point of Palooza WrestleFest.
All right. On Point of Palooza WrestleFest begins this Wednesday night. It already began tonight. With you two.
Road to All or Nothing.
That's right. And just to highlight it again, of course, on the this Wednesday, we have Lally and Xavier Cross. We're going to have, on the 11th, Matt Tremont returns. We're going to cover a lot of ground there. It's been a while since we had Matt on to talk about just his career and some things going on in other promotions, as well as On Point, looking forward to the rematch with Jaka. We're also going to be talking on the 18th, that will be Pinky Sanchez. I'm sorry. And then on the 25th, a big show really planned. It's going to be Ryan Castellucci, Deptford Zone, and Scott Summers, of course, from Texas. So that's going to be something. Just getting Scott Summers on was a big deal for me personally. So, Dan, if you don't have anything to add, where can people find you, Dan?
Dan, yeah, you can find me at DanLoyd3.
And GQ Magazine.
And, of course, I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. You can, of course, follow us on the website. That's HIACTalkRadio.com. You can also follow the Twitter. That's HIACTalkRadio. You can like the Facebook. That's Facebook.com/HIACTalkRadio. And we are also on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. So, without further ado, we'll see you on Wednesday night. Dan, I'll talk to you Wednesday.
Hell yeah.